Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're continuing our conversation with Argentine young economist Maria Lobo Murga. Now, Maria, I interviewed her in November, right when Javier Milei was starting to rise to prominence in the freedom community, and we had a conversation. She'd been at this advocating for free market capitalism for years before him, and then you get this wild hair crazy guy coming in there. You know, how'd that go over? Well, it went over enough he got elected, I can tell you that. So this has been a very interesting conversation from the beginning of this. What happened since his election, him speaking at the World Economic Forum, telling them that they are the problem. So I wanted to know how Argentine people, Generation Next, how this is having an impact on a local and international level. Well, Maria gives us the inside scoop.
And when I was in Project Arizona last October and November, it was because I was doing some conference on August. For Liberty International World Conference in Madrid. I was one of the speakers. I was talking about the situation in Latin America and in Argentina, and talking what trying to spread a little bit the message of what was going on in my country and how important is free market in Argentina and in Latin America too, in Latin American countries too, because as you know, there are many problems with other governments and other states in Latin America too. So there in the World Conference in Madrid, Jacek, that is the president of Liberty International, asked me if I wanted to go to the to Project Arizona last year. So I was some months there. We have great experiences with there. We have some pictures with all the community of liberalism in Arizona, in Phoenix. And we have known many people. We have been in touch with some lawyers, with some foundations, with some organizations. We have been with Judge Clint Bolick, and that was very good, very nutritive for our knowledge. And when I went to Project Arizona, I was wondering what was going to happen in my country, because we didn't have Javier Milei as president in that moment. We were running on the ballotage, and
you were running on the what?
We have the second chance of the election, the ballotage, you know? Because Javier Milei had the first one, that it was the election. And the second one was the ballotage when, because in the first one, he didn't win.
In the primary, he qualified for the general election.
Yes, but then we have general elections, and we didn't win in that general election. We have a very good percentage of the votants, so we passed to a third one that was the ballotage. That third one was the one that he competed with only one other candidate, that was Massa, Sergio Massa. But we have three elections, presidential election this year. The PASO, the general one, and the ballotage. And in the ballotage, in November, Javier Milei became president.
So Did that surprise you?
Yes. Yes. In the last conversation that we had, there was something very special because we wanted to, you asked me if I think in that moment if Javier Milei was going to be president. And I really didn't think that was going to happen because we have been so many years with this type of government, and so many people depends on the government, that for me it was very difficult that the people changed their mind. And I was very surprised when it happened.
Okay, I want to ask you this, because make this comment, because I don't know. You know, I haven't checked, I didn't, whatever. As libertarian activists,
yeah,
it has been our assumption that the elections were fraudulent. We didn't believe that the people really wanted this kind of crap, certainly in America. So we were going, this thing is, which is why, you know, I was so focused on election fraud and everything in my early days. And now I'm just like, man, just, you know, you're still voting. I mean, you know, whatever. But the thing that I find interesting is that he did win, just like, you know, Trump did lose, you know, this last time. Did he really? I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not a big, giant Trump fan, but you can just tell, man, it was messed up. Was there a change in Argentina's balloting? You know, do you think it was more legitimate this time? Was it different? Was there paper ballots? Did they have machines before and they don't now? Or they were being scrutinized more or something? You know, how is it possible that Javier Milei won? You know, I want to know how it was even freaking possible. So tell me about the election process itself. Was it different?
We have two things here. One is that when we think that there is fraud, many, many times we think that people is paid for going to vote to one person or another. And when we say that, we think that people that need money take that money and vote something. People in Argentina are tired of that kind of fraud and that kind of things that government have been doing the last years, because they don't have freedom then to buy what they want. What is that happening in Argentina? Because we have a lot of inflation and a lot of economic problems. If we didn't have that economic problem, I don't know if fraud will be better for elections.
So it's not electronic. It was just, they just pay you. I mean, how much are you thinking they're paid? I mean, you know, to get me to change my vote.
It was the same, but the people do not want to be paid because they know that the money that they were being paid was not enough for their pocket. The inflation had been so strong that people doesn't trust anymore on the government that was paying them to vote them, you know? So
you mean, wait a minute. Let's get this clear. Do you mean they'd actually go, here's your, I don't know, 1,000 peso, $10, whatever the heck it was, here's your money, vote this way? Or do you mean in, like, entitlements or government programs or something?
Both.
Really?
You have both.
They actually would give them cash, go vote the right way. Now, is it paper ballots? Or is it a, you know, electronic machine? How is the actual voting done in Argentina?
We have electronic vote, but there are not much provinces with electronic votes. So it was not a change, a really strong change in that way. The most important thing I think is that the people doesn't have money and the government still doing the same. And when you have a great inflation, if the same government tells you that it's going to change things, you don't believe on it. And we don't have that kind of fraud that you say, okay, there was fraud because of the electronic vote or something like that. We don't have that. What we have is people that goes to the elections and vote for somebody that is paying them or is
promising them something. It's like they lowered the taxes or gave them free buses or something right before the election, or they did some crap, you know. I mean, so it's just fraud another way. Okay, so
yes,
the question.
That is one point. But the other point that is very important is all the work that Javier Milei and many of the libertarian world has been doing here in Argentina to make people be conscious of what was happening in Argentina. When you don't know what is inflation, when you don't know that inflation is caused by the government, by the emission, by printing money, when you don't know that the great problem in your economy is that the state is very big and that's why the state is printing money, you don't think the state is the problem. You think the state is going to solve things. But Javier Milei and many libertarian people, as me, we try to make people understand that the biggest problem that we have is the great state that we have, and that had to change.
So they got educated. So the people were educated. They go, all right, we understand now. We get it. And he was yelling it loudly from the top of the building, so that helped, you know. Now, did he have any coattails? In America, what that means is because Javier was elected, were other libertarian politicians elected? Did people run with him? Did they vote a lot of the government out, or was it just Javier Milei that was elected? Was there other libertarians?
What? Can you repeat that? I didn't
Were there
understand.
Other libertarians in other races that got elected because Javier was elected?
Yes, I think so. Yes. There was, yes, Javier was the main important character in all these acts, but there was another, I don't know, deputy legislative people that goes in different parliaments that were elected because they were with Javier Milei. I really think so.
Well,
yes.
Are the incumbent politicians that are in your, do you have like a parliamentary system or a, you know, how is your government organized?
We have a Republican system. We have the legislative that make laws. We have the executive that is the president and the governors, the one that make things happen. And the justice, as you have, similar than
Well, I mean,
the
in
United.
Your legislature, are there two houses, like a Senate and a House of Representatives?
In Argentina state, in the federal state, we have two houses. But in some states, they have one, and other states, we have two. It depends on the state.
So, yeah, it's very similar. We have a lot of different ways of things in the U.S. too. But the idea that he comes in, man, I'm going to take a meat axe to this budget. And I remember when he had up on the whiteboard, it was departments of government. And dead, gone, 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 okay? Well, that was embraced by the people like, yeah, yeah, get rid of, yeah, get them all out. Well, then he became president and he started doing it. Has he been able to get those cuts in government through the legislature? Does he even have to? Or was that a presidential thing and he could just lop off that government as president?
There are some things he can do and some things he cannot do. He could eliminate some ministries, some agencies. You have like agencies. He could do it because he was president. But now we have this bus law. I don't know if you have heard about it. That is a very big law that he presented the first week he was in charge. And this law is having some troubles, because it's a big law with 368 laws inside and many change in different aspects of different statement of life of the people. And that is making some noise. But with the ministries, people were happy because they knew that was going to happen if Javier Milei was president. And it reflects the direct consequence is that we will have less people in the government, so less expenditure too.
Now you talked about deregulation and a bunch of other stuff, tax reform, all kinds of crap. But the big thing that was non-negotiable was the elimination of the central bank. How's that going?
Okay. In this moment, we don't have anything about that. We don't have eliminated our central bank, but I think it's something that he wants to do. I don't know if he's going to do it in this period, in this 4 year, because he's going to be president for 4 years, but maybe in the next period if he's president. But I know
he made a big clear deal out of that. But yeah. You know, you have here in the United States, we'll have like a presidential election in 2020. Then 2022 comes and there is a midterm election. So you have a lot of senators and all of the House of Representatives is replaced. When is the elections in Argentina for the lower houses, you know, for your legislature? When, how often do they get elected and when does that happen?
2 years. We have 2 years elections, but they stay as legislator for 4 years, but the House of Representatives changed by parts, you know. 2 years changed like a half, and then it changed the other part, and it goes that way.
So do you think the people are ready for the next election? They're like, two more years and we're going to get more libertarians.
That's a problem, you know.
You think they will?
Yes, we want that, but that is a problem because normally that elections, that middle term elections, are very difficult for the government because it changed everything what is happening in the houses, you know. They have one structure that they are going with that, and when you have a middle term elections, it is difficult to make it work again. Sometimes it is good, but sometimes you don't have the best election in that middle term, you know.
You know, let's go ahead. I want to do this. Let's look at this. Okay, this is, you know, just a map. Let's see, can I move this? Nah, whatever. So here is Argentina. Buenos Aires is right here where Maria is right now. So that is about, I can't tell the latitude here. Okay, there's the Tropic of Cancer or Capricorn. I can't remember. And then, so it's about even with, yeah, so it's about, you know, the United States, southern United States, you know, Carolinas or whatever is Buenos Aires, but it's a long country, so it probably is like Washington to Southern California or Washington, Florida, or Maine to Florida kind of thing. So it's now it's summer there, so it's hot there now, right? So you got, it's summer, of course it is, but anyway, so you get an idea. So the Buenos Aires used to be such a pearl of South America. Buenos Aires was rich. You know, a century ago, but that's why the Nazis all went to Argentina. I mean, you go, ooh, we're going to Argentina. So this has been a really inspiring for us to see this happen in what was considered a Western world, Judeo-Christian, heavily Catholic, I would imagine. You know, there's a predominant religion there. You have, people are probably more Christian than they are Muslim. I mean, you know, it's just, so it's really part of the Western world. To have this happen in our hemisphere, we haven't seen that before. You know, there hasn't, I don't know of any other real anarcho-capitalist, capitalist, business-friendly, not socialist, communist, whatever invasion in the Western Hemisphere. Hell, even Canada has gone freaking socialist. So this is a beachhead. You know, this is kind of a front. Argentina is going to get attacked. There is no way in heck they, them, those are going to allow this to happen. Sure as hell, after Javier Milei went to the World Economic Forum and told them to stick it, and we're going to be freedom, okay? So when he did that, how was that perceived by the Argentine people? They're like, woo, 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 you go, man, you know? Or were they like, oh, heavens, oh, he's bad, man, look how he embarrassed us. What was the response from the media in Argentina?
No, I don't think that people is afraid, because we don't have any war near here. We really don't live on a country that have any war. So we have Malvinas, yes, you know, but we are not accustomed to fight like with an army or any invasion. We don't have that in Argentina. We are far away from the normal conflict in the globe. There are the beast
pains. Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has failed to obtain a $464 million fraud judgment against him in New York. Trump must post bond by next week, or New York Attorney General Letitia James can begin collection proceedings during the appeals process. The White House confirmed that President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a discussion Monday. They covered recent developments in the Israel-Hamas conflict, particularly focusing on the situation in Rafah and efforts to enhance aid to Gaza. The Supreme Court seems doubtful about restricting the government's communication with social media platforms. Arguments heard on Monday questioned whether the Biden administration's efforts to combat misinformation on these platforms infringed upon the First Amendment. At the heart of the case are communications from administration officials urging platforms to monitor information regarding the legitimacy of the 2020 election and COVID-19. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreemansPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreemansPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides an understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears is already mature.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the Free Talk Live Network. We're continuing our conversation with Maria Lobo Murga. She's from Argentina, and we're talking about Javier Milei's election and his presentation to the World Economic Forum of They're the Problem, and freedom's the answer to any question, and we wanted to get her perspective from being in Argentina. We'll squeeze in as much as we can right now.
I don't think that people is afraid, because we don't have any war near here. We really don't live on a country that have any war. So we have Malvinas, yes, you know, but we are not accustomed to fight like with an army or any invasion. We don't have that in Argentina. We are far away from the normal conflict in the globe. So I don't think people have that in mind. I really don't think that. But mostly I think that people are very happy, and the academic one, mostly the academics want to Argentina be seen by the rest of the world, because we have been in so much poverty and so much trouble in the 60 last year, that all the problems that we have made Argentina not being seen, not for good stuff, you know, only for bad stuff. So I think that people in Argentina are very happy, because we now have some impact in the world and in the Western, and our president.
So they're believing in a future. They think that there's, you know, a positive future coming. You know, it's going to be business friendly. Regulations are going to be reduced. You're going to have people encouraged to be entrepreneurs. They're going to start businesses. They're going to get rid of the bank. I mean, that'll help a lot. You know, but I saw something that he somehow legitimized, legalized, or something, cryptocurrency. What was that about?
Yes, he had a cryptocurrency, and in some moment there was something like that we were going to be dollarized, and it started like a cryptocurrency of this dollarization, but now it doesn't have so much impact that. But he's still with the idea of dollarizing our economy.
Yay.
And I think that's going to happen in this year.
Well, dollarizing, I don't know how much, you know, frying pan into the fire, but, you know, it's at least you're getting off of something. I don't know.
When we talk about dollarizing, is that telling, making laws that make dollar as our current currency, and that we can spend in dollars here in Argentina as we spend in peso argentino, and something like that is going to happen. I think I don't know if this year or the next year, but he's with that idea still.
Yeah, no, legal tender laws, that was a big thing that Ron Paul was about. He's going, you know, have the government determine what's currency is not their job. You know, before the Civil War, the United States held, it was gold and silver. That was it. You know, and then you had banks would have their own notes and stuff like that. You know, Wells Fargo would, you know, ship paper of whatever to their banks. It's just, you know, once the government gets involved in the money, it doesn't turn out well. I mean, you know, I don't care how you do it. You know, oh, but we'll get dollars. Yay! I mean, you know, we'll see how that works. But the point
here is that mostly the Argentinian people have many dollars in their homes, because they save their money with dollars. And the most important point here is that people start using that dollars and not having it.
Let me ask you this. I'm old enough to have remembered when I was in high school, we'd go to Mexico, and it was five to one, I think. You know, it was like 5 pesos to a dollar or something like that. You know, then it was like a gabillion. Then they lopped off some zeros and made it 20. And then, it's never really, you can understand unless you actually go back and see what they did and how many zeros they took off, kind of deal, of what the exchange rate was. In Argentina, I remember Argentina had hyperinflation before. You know, this inflation thing, this is like in my lifetime that I remember at least, God, the third time or something. So this is, how old are you?
I am 33 now.
Okay, so 33. I'm sorry?
I wasn't born in the hyperinflation.
Right, so this is my point. You go, well, we don't like the government. We don't trust, well, it's the internet.
version of history now, to where you can look back and see it's happened over and over and over. They just keep doing it. They get a new generation of people such as yourself that didn't experience it. You don't remember, oh, this is a new thing. No, it's not. They keep doing it, you know? So I'm looking at your experience and those of older people that remember those, you know, the older people, they're the ones with dollars underneath their mattress. I guarantee it. Okay. Those are the guys that remember. So to go through this and be educated, it was because of the internet that you were able to, it didn't take a lot to convince the older guys that have gone through this before, I would imagine, unless they got a government job or something. But, you know, the young people, to describe to them why they don't have a job, why they don't feel free, why they don't have opportunities, why they need to go to another country, why, you know, their future is bleak and, you know, they're not going to be able to afford to have a family. So that educational process that you went through, was it just Javier Milei up there screaming in the microphone? Did he educate them? Did you? Were there other people? What infrastructure was there to bring this about? Because I'm sure Javier got educated by somebody, you know, something, you know, and then he represented a bunch of people bringing this stuff to the front. So who was doing the educating?
I think it was not only one person. Javier Milei got popular because of his idea. But the point here is that the people was, they didn't want to live the way they were living. Not only the youth, but the older, they didn't want to live another hyperinflation in Argentina, because they know that was going to happen and they wanted a change. And Javier Milei showed that he knows about the economy and he knows what he was doing, and it was another possibility that we have. But I don't think he was the educator of the Argentinian people, but he did a very good job because he was very popular, and he made people start to doing some questions to themselves that they didn't do before. The state was very popular, the president was very popular, the figure of the president, because it's a presidential country. And we as society think that the president was like the father of the country, and Javier Milei changed that idea. And not only Javier Milei, other economists and other people that talk about what was happening really in the economy was because of the government and of the lot of expenditure that the government has.
Well, that had...
It was not only Javier Milei, you know. It was like a lot of people talking about the same thing, but Javier Milei was this popular guy with the hair, very strange hair, and with a strange mood in his way of speaking. But he was
clear. He was like, yeah, this and this is why, and not being afraid of, well, if we just kind of, you know, hunkered down and we're a little bit more free. No, you guys suck. Get out of the way. The next generation needs to take us over. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And, oh, by the way, if I didn't tell you, you know, I'll tell you again, you guys suck. I mean, you know, so that is very much embraced when you have people that are so down trodden, just beaten into submission on so many levels. So it didn't surprise me as much. We covered his campaign a lot. And when I first talked to you the first time, you know, I was probably a little bit more enthusiastic about it than you were. You know, I was like, you know, yeah, I know this is going to be a thing. I've seen this before. So this is, the people, have they really got educated? Are they embracing it? They understand. They're starting to read. They're, yeah, you got the, you know, Spanish translation of Atlas Shrugged. I mean, you know, are they, you know, educating an entire generation in Argentina?
Yeah.
You know, is that happening?
Yes, yes, that had happened, and now people hear about the liberalism and the Austriac and about Hayek, about Mises. So you know, there are many others that before they weren't known here in Argentina, and now the mostly the young people started to want and to know what these authors said about the economy. But that is because we have a lot of trouble in our economy. I think that if we had a very good economy and people live good, you don't have this enthusiasm for liberty or for freedom or for changing. You need to be able to see that something bad is going to happen.
Something bad.
We saw what was happening in Venezuela, and we started to see same patterns here in Argentina, and we get a little bit afraid of what was happening.
Did you understand, is that one thing that was educated that the people started to understand that, look, if we go down this socialist road, we're going to be like that. This is where we're going. This is it. Is that what you want? You know, to get away from that, you need to do this. A whole other philosophy of freedom's the answer, what's the question kind of thing. So that, you know, kind of stuck with the people, I would imagine. But I'm still interested in some of the caricature of Javier Milei, because things like, one, you know, he was in a rock band or something, or played, you know, he would get on stage and rock and roll and shake that hair or whatever. I mean, you know, then he had girlfriends, you know, his sister he's close with, you know, so he's got, my first lady is my sister. You guys can talk to her and she'll kick your butt. And then you have, you know, well, it took me a while to move into, you know, the presidential palace, White House, whatever they call it, and because they had to put the kennels in for my four mastiffs. I'm like, what? You know? So he's a unique guy. That's not. But when he went and gave his presentation to the World Economic Forum, he kicked ass. I mean, he's just like, you know, and all you guys. So the caricature that best describes Javier is what in Argentina? What are they wrapping their arms and legs around? They're going, yeah, Javier, you know, the doll that says what? He pulls a string and the Javier doll says what? I mean, you know, they like him really. Why? Just because? It's not just because he's kind of, you know, free thinking and kind of out there, woohoo, we're having fun and so on. It's because something else, or some character trait, something that they really like about Javier. What do you think it is?
I think one of the things you said, that he kicked their ass. So they he went to the politicians and he told them all the truth, that what they were doing, it was wrong, and he kicked their ass in a very bad way, and people were happy about that, because the most important thing here is that people doesn't want to see any politician again. They want something different. They want people that were not involved in politics, and Javier Milei presented himself as that. That he has his dogs and his sister, a strange relationship, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. There are some people that like that. There are some that they do not like that. But the most important thing is that he was not part of that casta that he said.
Yeah.
Not part of the politics. On the politicians, that he wanted to be president only to make a real change in Argentina, and then he wants to go home and continue doing what he likes to do, that is teaching. We have a lot of, we know, you know too, that when people is in the power, when they have power, they want more power, and they want to do things that are very selfish, you know. And I think Javier Milei shows us a different face in the politics. He entered to the government telling the people, I'm not a part of this politician caste. I'm different. I'm part of this society. I want that Argentinian people and the society feel better and have a better life in the future, and Argentina be more development country and people live better in the future. But I don't want to be in the state for all my life. And that is the most important thing that I think people vote for him and trust him and give his vote because of that. Because he seems not to like the power because of the power itself. He wants Argentina being different in the next 10, 20, 30 years, and to be one of the countries that progress in the world.
You know, I get the impression once you make this kind of shift, it's about 2 years. You know, 2-3 years. Now, the government may not change. Well, I don't care. But it is the people do. You know, they're just like, whoa, man, we're not this anymore, we're that. Now, being in the position and the education and the career path that you've chosen, I'm thinking Maria might need to run for office sometime. I don't know, but would Maria run for political office? Would you do that?
I would do that.
Of course you would.
Because I want to do some of my stuff first, some of economy and liberalism, and I want to still be growing in my vocational free market ideas. But I think I will run for elections in some years.
Why would you wait? Because, see, my experience has been, I'm 62 now. My first election was probably about 30, you know. And then every 2 years for decades, I'm in their face saying this about that. And what we were doing was building the groundwork for, like, Ron Paul. You know that's why we knew Ron Paul, the Revolution, was going to, you know, be a thing. It was because we had already done what you guys did in the educating of the people. And a lot of it was street activism and so on. And then the internet started, and you had, you know, YouTube and video on the internet. But that had only been around, God, like 4 years, really, you know, by the time Ron Paul had run. For Javier, it had been longer. People had already been exposed to these ideas, and it was a lot easier to communicate it, you know, but we knew to do street activism kind of thing. But so I'm thinking that you running, you being there, being up, because every time you get on the ballot, you run, I don't know how your party system works or independent or any of that crap, but as a freedom-oriented person, you get to talk to a lot of people. You get a lot of coverage. You get a lot, and with your background and you having already understood what this is and be able to argue the economics, and having, before he got elected, you did the Arizona Project. I mean, your web page presence and, you know, look at me and my videos and pictures. Woo, people pay a bunch of money for that one, you know. So I don't want to discourage you from participating, even though I'm not a political guy, and voting, don't vote, I don't care. That's not the point. It's the education, and it's the support, it's the voice, it's somebody being there. And I'm wondering, is there a pool of people such as yourself that can be drawn upon to represent libertarianism, to represent free markets, to represent leave-me-aloneism? Where is that?
Yes, I think that is spread along in the country. We don't have now that bunch of people in the same party. We have many people that are talking about liberalism. We have many people that knows about free market and know what we have to do in the state as Javier Milei, because I really trust in many of the other people that are talking about this, and they really know. Yep. They are people that have all the capacity to make a change. But now I think that we are introducing ourselves as a new experimental thing of the politics with a liberal party, because we didn't experiment that in Argentina and neither in another part of the world. So I think that liberalism in Argentina may organize themselves to run for a better election. That's true.
You got to be careful, because I'm telling you, this is what I see happening. This is from the old guy, okay? Let me tell you what the old guy says. All right, you ready? You ready?
You said that Milei was going to win, and now he's a president. I didn't trust about that.
I just tell you, you can see it coming. Right? Let me tell you what I see coming. A good example is Britain. You know, they have, like, these commonwealths. You know, you got New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Canada. They're all part of the same thing. The king, queen, you know, has, like, veto power. They call it the Privy Council or whatever. You know, it's just messed up. Well, what happens is, whenever there's a popular uprising like this, exactly what you saw happen in Argentina has happened in America, certainly has happened in the United Kingdom before, you know, different, you know, they're riled up, they're all pissed off about something. Then you look at the government, because they have a parliamentary system, and you have a bunch of little parties, where they want to coalesce and be able to elect who the prime minister is. Well, what they do is they get up there, and you'll see this one little party, or an offshoot of one party, or they're a minor party, or they're the major party, whatever party, and they'll go, oh, heaven, you should have just, people, you should have told us that's what you wanted. Well, heck, we could be freedom. We can do freedom. Be freedom, guys. You know, well, you keep us in. We've learned our lesson. We'll be the freedom people now, okay? And then it's Stalin, shaves off his mustache, and then runs out there and runs as the freedom guy. You're going to see that there's going to be, if it's not you or people like you, it's going to be politicians, people like, oh, yeah, I was always Javier Milei fan.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.